I now give more precise formula because it's very important. It is Vedic rishis who found out that you cannot achieve all this unless you perfect your capacities, all your capacities. It is a total sacrifice you make. All your capacities, you find out all your capacities. What are these capacities? Basically three kinds of capacities. There is a capacity of knowledge, and there are faculties of knowledge like buddhi, medha, dhi, mati. So many terms you find in the Veda to describe various gradations of this power of knowledge. Develop all these powers of knowledge. You will find in the Veda, therefore, so many verses which are given to the understanding of various powers of knowledge and how these powers of knowledge can be developed. Medha Vinam Kuru, that is one of the great verses of the Veda was, Medha Vinam Kuru, make me full of Medha. I spoke of Gayatri already once before you, in a few days ago, where Dhiyo Yo Nah Prachodayat, where Dhi is supposed to be united with the sunlight so that our intellect is directed by the Supreme Light. So there is first powers of knowledge, varieties of powers of knowledge which are described. When you read them, you feel amazed the amount of psychological knowledge which is contained in the Veda. Today we are very proud of our modern psychology, but modern psychology compared to the Vedic psychology is ABC. What is in the Veda, profound psychology is given. Varieties of capacities are described in the Veda. And how each one can be developed. It's a question of discovery of a faculty, but how it can be developed, that is a great discovery. This is one group. Set of capacities are capacities of will, capacities of action. Everyone has got some rudimentary will, which is expressed in the form of desire, normally. Everyone is active in a certain way. The most normal movement of action is restlessness. All of us have some kind of restlessness, doing nothing. You must have seen when you have nothing to do, you loiter about. You go to some kind of a place. And then you just do nothing. But many things happen out of doing nothing. You just watch out from the balcony. You watch somebody and suddenly some action proceeds out of it. Not of intent. On the spur of the moment some activity starts. So restlessness. Then there is instinct. Restlessness is not instinct. Instinct is a deliberate movement of action which goes towards an object. It has a purpose. Every instinctive movement has a purpose. Restlessness has no purpose. Activity which has no purpose, which comes under the category of restlessness. But a spontaneous activity which occurs when I'm hungry, automatically I look for food. Nobody needs to teach me. I try to find out where the food will be available. I neglect everything else. It's a very purposive activity, directed straight, it goes straight to towards that end, towards the acquisition of food. So I discover the food, I strive for food, I discover it, and I gulp it. This is the instinct of activity. So that is another way in which we are active. The third is desire. Desire and instinct are different. In the instinct, it is spontaneous. It happens automatically. The child does not need to be told, now feel hungry. Automatically hungry and seeks food or cries out for food. It's instinctive. No, it is unlearned. Now desire may arise out of instinct itself, unlearned. I begin to desire because of certain experiences. I may desire to get first class first marks in the examination because I find that everybody praises one who gets first class first. So I desire also that thing. I said a bit like that when I was in third standard. I was told that if you get 35 marks, you will pass. So I did three sums equivalent to 35 marks, and I came out of the class. I will pass, that was all. I did not have the desire to get the first class first and do all the sums. Desire is a result of experience in which you begin to enjoy a certain kind of a fruit, which is not necessarily needed by you, but you like to have. Instincts are those which are needed, which impose themselves, are imperatives. The objects of desire are not needed absolutely like imperatives, but you find them, you develop them, and then they become so powerful that you must have them. So desire is also an origin of action. Then there is egoism, which is also the origin of action. Ahambhava, in Sanskrit is called ahambhava, egoism. You do an action not because you desire, but because you can affirm yourself, you can assert yourself. Somehow you have spoken something and you become wedded to it because you have said it. You hold on to your view and you do anything afterwards to vindicate it. In a debate you have expressed a view, then you say it is my view. I attach yourself to it and you fight for it afterwards. Egoism is another means of action. And then there is will, is a fifth force of action. Will is, there is no desire. As in desire, there is a movement to grasp from the outside world what you don't possess. In will, you express what you already possess. That is the speciality of will. You express what you already possess and you allow it to work out powerfully. Therefore, will is a power. Desire arises out of incapacity. Will arises out of power, capacity. Now, all this was studied by the Vedic Rishis and they found that all these have to be developed in such a way that restlessness stops, instinct is transformed, desire is abolished, egoism is annulled, until you arrive at a will which is supreme will, and Supreme will manifest itself through you, which is irresistible, which is most victorious. This was the second aspect that they discovered. The third was the aspect of feeling, aspect of knowledge, aspect of will, aspect of feeling. And the Veda describes various kinds of emotions. It's a science of emotions, we might say, the whole Veda. It's a science of knowledge, science of action, science of emotions. And the highest emotion that we discovered was emotion of joy, unrestricted joy, and unrestricted self-giving, surrender. This was the discovery. The highest is surrender. Nama uktim videma. Nama. This word nama is a Vedic term. Nama means surrender. Salutation. Bowing down. Offering. This is nama. To arrive at the condition of nama was the highest achievement that they discovered, that if you have this condition of nama in your consciousness, if every time you say namaha, 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 if you can say spontaneously all the time, then there is nothing which you cannot achieve. There is nothing. All is contained in namaha. The moment you say namaha, truly, all that you need will be available.